Blog Talk Radio.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of a life in the land of submarines. So we sailed up to the sun, till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine. We all lived in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all lived in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. And our friends are all aboard, many more of them live next door. And the band begins to play. Every one of us has all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in a yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Well, that, of course, was the Beatles, and it was Yellow Submarine, and it is a song from 1966. I'll explain it a little bit more on the tick. You've actually joined a team of voices on Blog Talk Radio, and we're a group that is on All Poetry, and we are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. I am A.P. Taylor, and I have my fellow host with me. Hello, Ada. How are you?
Fine, AP, thank you.
And we have Deb as well, who runs everything and, you know, makes sure everything goes along nicely. Hi, Deb. How are you going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Well, I better say a few words about Yellow Submarine. Our theme this week is steam. And, of course, the Yellow Submarine has the steam lyrics in it. But Yellow Submarine was a strange little tune, a kid's tune, that John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote. And they, apparently what happened, they were working on two separate tunes, and then they put them together. In Yellow Submarine, that's why there's a difference between the chorus and the feel of the chorus and the main verse. But and it was always going to be Ringo's song on the album. And when Ringo was asked about the forthcoming album in '66, he said, "John and Paul have written a song which they think is for me, but if I mess it up, then we might have to find another country and western song off somebody else's LP," which goes to show how confident he was about Yellow Submarine. But Yellow Submarine went on to become an animated video. It went on to sell a remarkable amount of copies of songs. In fact, it was the highest selling British single for 1966. So there you go, the highest selling. And it was just as a sort of kid song. Now, everybody read all sorts of things into Yellow Submarine, including protest movements. It was considered to be code for yellow capsules and escapism and all sorts of interesting things. But at its heart, it was a kid song. And it was
what it was.
The song. Sorry, Hatter?
What it was, Ringo got crap for being non-talented compared to the other three, and it bugged John that they were harping on it so much. So they tried to prove how worthy Ringo was to be in the band. So they wrote him some songs. That was something that was one of them.
And look, it was highly successful. Ringo. He of course went on with his voice. Do all of the Thomas stuff. Anyway, here we are, Hatter, with Steam, and we do have a couple of folks that support the show a lot who've bought some SoundCloud. So we've got Infinite Destruction, and we've got Dev, we've got me with Palms, and I think you said before that you were in the midst of working on one, Hatter. Is that right?
No, I'm done. I just had to find a picture is all.
Oh.
It's there.
Oh, okay. Better. Even better. Okay. So you're up and running and ready to roll is what you're telling me.
I'm ready to roll, yep.
Well,
definitely.
Beautiful thing. Well, do you want to put your poem straight up on the board and we'll kick off? Theme poem.
Hey, I can do that. I can do that. I happen to have it right here.
Perfect. Even better.
Come on.
And this was easy right for you or a hard right for you?
Yeah, it wasn't the easiest, but it wasn't the hardest either. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just sort of off the wall, a little off the wall.
Okay. Yeah, no, we don't mind that.
And I named it Steam. I titled it Steam.
Well, at least you went for the safe, option in terms of the name. That's fair.
Yeah, it's not too long. Yeah.
No. And you're okay to read it, or did you want me to read it for you, Hatter?
I actually found some glasses that work. I think I can do it. I think I better read it because I'm not sure about it. Okay.
Okay,
it was like
right,
this.
Go for it then.
Yeah. Everybody got it?
Yep.
Okay. I prepared for the war that's coming from me. I look around. What do you see? The humans in charge have let us down. If you don't believe me, just look around. Are you prepared to fight off your friends, knowing that what's coming, the world's in? I stored my water, my food I bought. But the best of things is what I got. Not prepared is the ship of fools. Keeping alive, my friend, is the golden rule. There'll be no power to plug into. I'll stay alive. What about you? No fuel for cars, no trucks to drive, nothing to help you stay alive. So I've built a gadget that builds up steam. If you know your science, you'll know what I mean. Pressure in pipes and tubular hose to power the lights to show that those that failed to plan and to be prepared don't count on me to care or share. I've secured my house. I'll shoot your ass. Read the signs. Do not trespass. The hot springs are free, and it might seem I've secured my castle with high-pressured steam. If you approach without an invite, beware the view, you're in my sight. My dream will give me peace, my steam will give me my peace of mind, charges my robots, it's by design. Steam dogs are vicious and on my command. They'll kill with no feelings. Get off my land. Steam works the wings that will fly me away. I'll leave you a package that will ruin your day. Steam rooms are safer than saunas or walls. If you wish to live, don't come if I call. It arms my traps with crippling heat. It burns to the bone, down to your feet. My steam will surround me through thick or thin. I've warned you twice. Do not come in. Neighbors or friends, it don't matter to me. I've posted this note near my steam-powered bees. Right now.
there was no lack of inspiration there, Hatter. You had steam-powered bees, and you had steam-powered dogs, and you had steam-powered wings, and you had just, you know, steam-powered, you know, everything, really.
Everything.
And you were, you know, you had steam, and you were prepared to use it. So
that's right.
Apocalyptic sort of steampunk.
Well, remember the remake of Wild Wild West?
Yes.
Did a movie.
Yes.
Everything was steam powered and.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I remember. That was interesting. Deb, did you want to say a few words about that steam poem?
Well, for one thing, it's the longest one you've written in a while, Hatter. You were like on a roll, and it was going and going and going, and you were covering topic after topic. We were defending our property, and we were posted about the bees, Buzz Buzz. I thought that was cool at the end. But up towards the beginning there, are you prepared to fight off your friends, knowing what's coming, the world's end? Fight off your friends. It's a probability, but it's like, wouldn't it be better if you teamed up and tried to help each other?
Well,
I was
watching Doomsday Preppers at the time.
That'll do it.
Cool. Yeah. No. Like I said, you were so inspired. You just went. I don't know if I can think of too many things that you didn't put in here. Maybe the kitchen sink, haha. But it's really, really cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a little weird.
There you go.
A little weird.
It's dipper. Well, no. All you got to do is be inspired, Hannah. That's all the topics you've got to do. And if that inspires you to do that sort of piece, then it's got to start, really. You know, that's a good topic. So, anyway.
Nothing's more inspiring than a deadline.
There you go. The deadline helps too. So I had to go back, Hatter. I had to go back because we were, of course, talking about steam. And we started with Yellow Submarines. And that got me thinking. It got me thinking, which is always a worry, about were there actually steam-powered submarines? And the answer, of course, was yes. There was a whole heap of designs of steam-powered submarines, and the first one was actually launched in 1864 by the Ictinio II, designed by the Spanish engineer Narcís Monturiol. But interestingly, steam submarines went a whole heap past that. They were actually a whole class of K-class steam submarines that the British had, the K-class they were, but they actually weren't that great. In fact, they got the nickname of the Calamity class for the K because they were involved in so many accidents. So they actually had a whole set of steam submarines in the British Navy in World War I. There you go. I've done my history research. Steam submarines, the K-class submarines. And there were a whole heap of steam submarines. Even the Germans had one in World War I. They all tried different things. But there were steam submarines. Really, there were steam submarines. Go figure. You'd think the two wouldn't actually mix, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Franklin or Da Vinci had drawings of it.
Imagine how hot it was in that bad boy.
Well, that's
no kidding.
What I'm saying. Can you imagine a steam sub... I mean, just the whole thing just sort of, you know, you sort of think, that just doesn't match, but that they were, you know. So,
wonder how many volunteers they had. They had any volunteers? Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah. Well, you know, submarines are not very pleasant things, but I wouldn't have thought putting a bloody great big thing in them was going to be very helpful. But anyway, there you go.
Isn't it funny though that the most deadly weapons we own are basically catered to the smallest men, fighter pilots and submariners.
Well, this be true. This be true. And I was actually looking just at Da Vinci and what he did in the late 15th century, Hatter, and he invented a steam-powered cannon called the Architronato, or the Architona, yeah.
I wonder if Archimedes.
So there you go.
Archimedes was the genius back in the day of weapons.
Yes, well, he. I'm not sure he did much for steam, but certainly Da Vinci did. Anyway, so putting that to one side for a tick, we have got a couple of steam poems and that we've had sent into us, and I thought we might get one of those up on the board now, and I think this is a steampunked sort of inspired poem by the show's good friend Titus Llewellyn. So I'm putting it up on the board now, and I'm going to go and play the SoundCloud, which he very kindly sent to us. So this is Titus with his piece now.
One beautiful timepiece. One beautiful timepiece splendidly preserved, the timeless possession that loved would outlast. For a decade or more with a parting observed, and a love interaction that folktale would cast. A mourning period holds an emptiness inside, and love has been held for as long as it takes. Hopes keep the cogs moving, slowly to abide death, my life has accounted many mistakes. Indeed, as it was no one's concern, I'll survive. Such is time to suspend this much of my faith. For the good we put into it, love would revive the blessing of God to keep us and love safe. Oh, beautiful timepiece. Seems this immaculacy which has distributed much ugliness elsewhere, beyond the lower reaches of banal. Compare distance from anywhere else, it ails inaccuracy. Provenance was conceived, it's now defamatory. From what I've heard, this absurd fact of life slowing down the clock that is found auditory to movement, keeping with continuous strife, that beauty is supine with it being skin deep, if something time can allow to have bestowed upon capture, I've incensed upon it stowed towards others, then my happiness shall keep. Beauty for duty's sake confined to any season, distinction not yearning, but learning to shine, to comprise, singling out a gift for any reason, must enclave this heart berating to this shrine.
And again, Titus, very delicately and beautifully read to a wonderful recording in the background. Lovely use of words. Beauty for duty's sake confined to any season, distinction, not yearning, but learning to shine. To comprise, singling out a gift for any reason, must enclave this heart, berating to this shrine. It's just lovely, beautiful rhyme, but I love the way that the words turn inwards. Must enclave this heart, beautiful word, enclave. And beauty for duty's sake, confined to any season. So there's a beautiful use of words to turn inwards there. And just think about something in a way that gives it far more depth. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Titus's piece?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, for starters, right before his read, it says, a poem to commemorate a wait of 16 years for love to reunite and 16 more to make up for the lost time. And I happen to know that particular little couplet there is a reference to his own life. And imagine waiting 16 years to get to spend time making up for lost time. But back to the poem. The opening stanza really blew me away. One beautiful timepiece, splendidly preserved, a timeless possession that love would outlast for a decade or more, with a parting observed and a love interaction that folk tales would cast. And I never really thought about it that way before, but quite often a woman would give a man a watch, pocket watch back in the day, or, you know, wristwatch now, or pocket watch, whatever. But the point, you know, okay, it's usually a gift from love. And I never thought about the fact that in almost every case, the actual timepiece itself outlasts the people and the love that it was given from, usually because of death. And there was just something so profound that the timeless possession, that love, would outlast. Beautifully sad, the thought of being gone and that timepiece still being there and still ticking and in a lot of cases very valuable. And by the time the next person has it, they have no clue, usually, of the provenance that would tell you about that love or, you know, the origins of the watch. And I was so taken by the first stanza there that I got wrapped up in it, and I'll have to read more later, but there was so much emotion in the poem, in his voice, and even in the tone that the music, as you mentioned, set with this one. Really impressive.
Agreed. Hadar, did you want to say a few words about this piece by Titus?
Yeah, he writes so well. I mean, I'm just blown away that part, hope keeps the cogs moving slowly by death. My life has counted many mistakes. Indeed, as it was no one's concern, I'll survive. But it's time to suspend this much of my faith. It's beautiful. Classes up the place.
No, great. No, he's a fantastic writer, and just finds new and interesting and different ways to approach subjects, and does it in a really sort of timeless and elegant way, Hatter. And for me, you know, that's there's a real skill in that. So. Anyway, talking about English things and talking about the contribution of the English to a number of things, and you could pick a whole heap of different subjects, and I'm going for toys because the thing that I will always associate with STEAM is a toy that I was given when I was about 9 years old, and it was a Mammoth steam engine, a Mammoth steam traction engine, became rapidly my favorite toy because...
And it's the one thing you display, one thing you display.
I do.
Yeah.
Yep, I
yes,
do.
You do.
It's a beautiful metal engine, and it's got a perfectly beautiful metal boiler, and it is everything about British toys that is a wonderful thing, that they are timeless and are brilliantly made. And this particular engine is now over 50 years old, and I've got a couple of pictures of it because it's sitting on the bench next to me. And you can see from the second photo how well this engine has been loved, because it has been so hot so regularly that it has actually burnt the metal top, because that's how often it was used and run around. So basically, you used to fill this up with water, where the green tank was a water tank, and it had a methylated spirits burner that would fit in the back of it, and you'd light the methylated spirits burner, you'd put it in, and then it would build up and heat up so that there was steam, and then there was a flywheel and a gear, and you could basically run this thing on its own steam, basically, and I did. Hours and hours and hours of time I spent chipping this thing all over everywhere, really. So had a tremendous amount of fun with it, and it is just a brilliant toy. And so when I think of steam, I actually think of the little steam engine. And so that is my precursor to do my poem, Hatter, because that was where it was all starting and stopping. This is off steam, thanks to putting it on the board, and it goes a little bit like this. Simply, it's water boiling, containing some force. Like if someone is upset, blow it off and change course. You can heat dumplings, or the firebox of a train can mean moving quickly, or so agitated will then drain. In becoming conceited, leave her a letter to read today. A fine mist distributed, or pressure clean stirred away. But steam, as a child, even now, suggestion. For me, green and red. I'm a rammed traction engine. End poem. And a few meanings of steam along the way. Deb, what did you think of the little steam ode?
I thought it was really cool. I think it was the nostalgia, especially in your voice as you were reading. You can heat dumplings, or the firebox of a train can mean moving quickly, or so agitated will then drain. And that one kind of felt double, because steam, you know, agitation and steam go together.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought of playing with that, easing that, it will drain away, it would go. And steam, as a child, even now, suggestions for me, green and red. And maybe, don't you have a car as well?
I have a Rolls-Royce as well. Yeah, I have a steam Rolls-Royce, but the traction engine was almost my favorite from go to what.
But I think it's also cool that you mentioned how it was well-loved and well-played, and you can tell by the heat damage and stuff like that. It was just a very endearing poem, like I said, and the nostalgia was shown. Cool share.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you. And Hatter, did you, you've seen the steam engine. What did you think? Hello, Hatter. First Hatter.
I'm sorry, I'm helping Joy move some stuff in.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wasn't sure where you were. That's okay. All good. Did you hear the steam poem?
I'll have to read it. No, I was.
Oh,
I
no, that's them. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. So we have only a couple of steam poems to go, Hatter. So have you had a chance to have a think about what we might be doing next week as our theme?
Let's go poppies.
Poppies. Okay, poppies. As in the sort of flowers, the poppies, yeah?
As in poppies.
Yep, as in poppies. Okay, do that. we can do that. Sounds good. We can do that. Okay. Meantime, I am going to go grab the other poem that was sent in to us, which was by Infinite Destruction. And so I am going to go and put that on the board now.
Okay.
What is happening now? And it's up on the board now. And I am going to play the SoundCloud that he very kindly sent in. So this is his SoundCloud. Right place. It is now.
Soliloquy of the Broken. I am on the edge of a ledgerous ledge, a sable obsidian sword named Darkness, with its sharpness soothing and soft, a double-bladed, famished, infinite abyss. Shall I fall? I am upon the bed of destined death, with bleeding black rose petals for decor, accompanied, of course, by a numerous nuance of their piercing, poisoned thorn. Shall I sleep? I am hearing a dissonant, delightful song, playing despair, devoid of feral or fair, and the beautied, hateful love. Her ribboned rubbish waltzes there. Shall I dance? I am viewing a menagerie of perilous pathways. No way of knowing of where each goes. Lust calls with caressing whispers as the shattering silent wind blows. Shall I follow? I am finding myself fighting to fail and fall into that blackest of blacks, a serene siren's call, lulling me to sleep and dream to drearily dance with darkness, death, love, lust, and pestilence. Shall I stay? Their prey, their truth, their prayers, and their wishes too. I am. End poem.
Please, I love the use of the question. I love the whispering sort of refrain. Now, Hattie, you've talked about use of questions in poems before. What did you think of that piece by Infinite Destruction?
Yeah, what do they call it when they when there's a narrative inside the actual read? He's questioning, shall I dance? Shall I follow?
It's almost like a refrain. I've got a better technical word for it.
Yeah, I like the way he named the sword Darkness.
Yeah.
Where was that? And then down at the end, he interjects the with darkness, death, love, lust, and pestilence.
Yeah.
He was describing the weapon of war, or the tool of war, I guess. Yeah, it's very interesting. I like the way it was set up. I like the way it read. It's very good.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. And Deb, what did you think?
You know, I liked this spooky, dramatic way he read it, for one. And that whisper in between the stanzas, I think, really helped to drive it. And the one stanza, viewing a menagerie of perilous pathways, no way of knowing of where each goes, lust calls with caressing whispers as the shattering silent wind blows, shall I follow?
Mm.
It's like it was really, mm-hmm. really cool. It had a, what's it, like a Hitchcock sort of suspense as he read.
Yeah.
I thought he did great.
Really interesting. Yeah, no, I agree. I great read. You're right. Really good read. I think it was really, really an interesting piece and really really well read. So thank you again to Infinite Destruction for supporting the show and for giving us the SoundCloud and your piece. Much appreciated. And Deb, I've got your piece now up on the board.
Oh, cool. Let me go back over there. All right, so my steam is part of an idiom, and this is called Eyes on Fire and Ears Leak Steam. And it's a free verse, and here we go.
Cool.
You stand there with your lips flapping, but if you're talking, you are lying. The rage in me ignites in red, and as the flames flow in my veins, steam plumes from my ears. Eyeballs once hazel green stare through you as I fume from the rage. Then that stare grows bloodshot, stained and spider-webbed with crimson hues. Now the creature inside me rises, snarling, aching to bite that thick head off and chew on the bloody flesh pieces and spit you into the mud. So I strike out and lungs inhale as breaths hiss, stomping you into the mud as the steam from the pieces of you plume. Then, on the flip side of rampaging, I exhale and bake chocolate cupcakes and poem.
There you go. When in doubt, do everything, then bake chocolate. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you're on a roll like that, and you were talking about sort of anger and that sort of welling of emotion, it's exactly that time that I go away from rhyme and I go to free verse, because it just when you're on a roll, you just go with the roll. And seems to me fitting it up with something else just doesn't work. So I really like that you went for the free verse and just followed your nose and followed it through. So, Hatter, what did you think?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was the eyeballs once hazel green stare through you, they fume with the rage and stares down grows bloodshot. Now what? What causes bloodshot eyes? Is it blood pressure? Part of it?
Yeah.
It is?
So does alcohol, but rage.
Yeah.
And the idiom is in reference to the fact that, you know, she was so mad she had steam coming out her ears type of thing.
I almost took that angle. I was trying to think of steam being steamed, but it didn't work out for me. This is very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hatter.
And the pushback to having the flip side, I like too. So it's very neat. Now, so we've got Poppies for next week, Deb, but did you want to say a few words about what we've got going on with a team of voices and with the shows coming up for this week?
Surely. On Monday, I have almost to the end of this series, and this week we feature the words of none other than Ms. Purple Chaos. And
yay.
I chose some really awesome stuff from her poetry, and I paired it with the artist Jessica Elaine, because I know that Chaos likes her, enough that I sent her a picture a couple years back, and she still to today uses it as her profile pic. So I figured if she liked that much, it was a good artist to pair up with her words. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then, let me see here, on Tuesday, I'm trying to remember, I think we had it. Okay, Tuesday will be Ms. Sky Darkholm. I just don't quite know what her topic is yet, so that's usually Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month at 8, so just keep an eye on the topic board. And I guess I feel kind of lame because I don't know what Crystal's doing and Sweet's topic's not up. So the next thing I know for sure after that is that on the 14th, Linda will be doing open poetry. So it could possibly be an every day of the week show this week. So just please keep your eyes on the topic board.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yep, that sounds good to me. So we've sort of worked our way through STEAM fairly quickly, Deb, which is nice. And we've got poppies for next week. Our thanks to Titus and to Infinite Destruction for sending in pieces for us to read and comment on and bring to SoundCloud. Thanks, of course, always to yourself, Deb, and to Hatter. And I think we've probably got to the end of the shebang.
Yeah, I got to say one thing about poppies. Where I grew up till I was like I think 10. It was in Contra Costa County, California, and we had rolling hills. If we were to go east on Interstate 80, we had rolling hills of poppies. And I mean, whole hillside full of orange, bright orange poppies. It was quite a sight. There's nothing but houses there now. But I remember quite a vision.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully you can get some pics of that, Hatter, and have that attached to the piece so we can have a chat about it next week when we do poppies.
There we go.
I've actually seen that on the news. At a certain time of year, they have to block the roads so that local traffic can go to and from their homes because people flock there to see the site. So.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Daffodil
Hill. There's a place near where I am now where it's called Daffodil Hill. And they have these meadows just full of different colored daffodils, and they had to stop it because of the traffic of the humans, cars, and just walk around with too much damage. They had to quit letting them do that. It's a shame.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, all of that to look forward to next week when we do Poppy Saturday. So, my thanks to everybody for, as I said, supporting the show and for sending in pieces, and we'll be back this time next week with that show with you hosting, Hatter.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Okie doke. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter. And we will catch us all same time, same channel next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, EP. Thanks, Hatter.
Okay.
Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, bye.